In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Blessed feast.
Blessed feast.
This feast, for some reason, among all the others, seems to bring me this great joy. Whenever I consider the Feast of Transfiguration, it just brings me this wonderful fullness and joy. It's quite amazing. And we sing the Troparion of the feast. When, O Christ our God, thou wast transfigured on the mountain, thou didst reveal thy glory to thy disciples in proportion as they could bear it. Let thine everlasting light also enlighten us sinners through the intercessions of the holy Theotokos. O God, thou bestower of light, glory to thee. The Transfiguration has, it's just so wonderfully jam-packed with deep theology and a wonderful revelation of Christ himself to us on so many levels. It says that Jesus took his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And I always like when I introduce my sons, I always like to introduce them out of order. This is Peter, and this is James. I'll let you guess who this one is. And sometimes they'll respond, John. No, this is Alexander. I don't have a John. But he took these three disciples, Peter, James, and John, up the mountain, apart, it specifies. It takes work to climb. They went for a hike. And these three, when they beheld the glory of Christ's transfiguration, we see it on the icon, they fell on their faces. It was too much for them to bear, to see Christ in his deified and glorified reality, as much as they were able to bear it. And also shown in the icon, we have on one side standing next to Christ is Moses, and on the other side is Elijah, demonstrating that Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Both the law represented by Moses, to whom God gave the law, and the prophets, of whom Elijah is the representative. And both of these, Moses and the law and Elijah and all the prophets, we see pointing to Christ in the Old Testament, and now here bearing witness to him on Mount Tabor. And even more so, we see that Christ is revealing that he is not only the God of the living, but also the God of the dead, in that Moses reposed, but Elijah was taken up into heaven in the body. And it's also important to note that this event of the Transfiguration happened in conjunction with the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, which is why we have the disciple offering to build three booths, one for Christ and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And this Jewish festival of booths was a feast celebrating the dwelling of God with man, literally tabernacling with man. And so here we have Christ fulfilling this, showing his divine glory in the presence of his disciples, that he is both God and man, and has come to dwell with men. What joy! What joy! And just as Moses had a mountaintop experience on Mount Sinai and Elijah a mountaintop experience at Mount Horeb, so too now the three appear as one with a new mountaintop experience on Mount Tabor. Now, the thing about mountaintop experiences is they require some effort to get there. You don't just show up on the mountain. You have to work. Put in the effort, the exertion to arrive and then receive the blessing from God of that mountaintop experience. Another wonderful, beautiful thing about this feast is its strong and unavoidable connection to the Feast of Theophany. In the Feast of Theophany, you have a revelation of the Trinity, just as you do here at the Feast of Transfiguration. Christ is present. In both occasions, the voice of the Father was heard bearing witness to his Son. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And this strong connection of Transfiguration to Theophany is meant to remind us of what we are called to in our baptism. St. Peter, in his second universal epistle, which we read today, reminds us, brethren, be more zealous to confirm your call and election. That is, your call and election in your baptism. For if you do this, you will never fail. So there will be richly provided for you an entrance to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these things, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. And so again, we have this wonderful reminder of what we are called to in our baptism. The Transfiguration is a glimpse into what we are destined for. What we can be like by the grace of God. We can be transfigured as he was. Now, Christ meant this transfiguration to be an encouragement for his disciples as he drew closer to his crucifixion, giving them the strength and faith to know that Christ's resurrection is not only possible, but true reality. They were permitted to physically see some of his divine glory shining through together with his humanity. St. Gregory Palamas teaches us that the Transfiguration wasn't a change in Christ, who is himself changeless God, not something new. It is not the deification of Christ, but a more full revelation of him. The revelation of his divine nature that had always been there. And a reminder of what we are called to enter into. That same glory. That same potential for us. What joy. What joy. And in order to draw near to this glory that we are called to participate in, our faith must be a holistic one. We are called to offer every part of ourselves to God. And only in this way can we become what we were made to become. A Christian person is most rightly a transfigured person, or at the very least, one who is climbing the mountain on the way to the Transfiguration. We should consider ourselves not a Christian and a parent or child and a worker or student and whatever else, but being a transfigured Christian, it reaching into every part of our life, we must consider ourselves a Christian parent or a Christian child, a Christian worker or student, a Christian whatever else. That our Christianity is not separate, not distinct from these other aspects of our lives, but must be transfigured in every way by our faith. It is not an easy thing. In fact, it's much easier to compartmentalize our faith and say, I'm a Christian when I go to church. I'm a Christian when people treat me nicely. And those other times, well, forget it. If they treat me unnicely, they're going to get what they deserve. We see that nowhere in Christ's gospel. But rather, we are called to be transfigured Christians in every moment, in every aspect of our lives. And to do so requires spiritual guidance and support, accountability. And if you have any doubts that this is indeed what we are called to and expected, and what is expected of us, I remind you of what our great father, St. Athanasius, teaches us, that God became man so that man might become God. What God is by nature, we might become by his grace. And so as we pray in the litany, let us offer our whole selves unto Christ our God, that we may too be transfigured in the glory of God. Amen.